Hello and welcome to this live stream, multi-stream edition of the Running with the Herd podcast, powered up by Herd Nation and sponsored by Mike Gwynn Insurance Agency. I'm your host and the producer of the Running with the Herd podcast, Aaron Coleman, and I am joined by the director of sports performance for Marshall University, Ben Ashford. BA, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm great, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining me. I certainly appreciate it. And we're going to jump right into it. First of all, summer workouts are going on with the football team as we speak. How are things going with the guys? And just, you know, talk to us about getting ready for the start of the 2022 season and the start of the Sun Belt.
So we are beginning, and I apologize about my voice. I do yell a lot. That's what I do. So if you don't understand me, I apologize. Most people don't. It's an acquired taste. So a little bit about where we're at. We are starting or ending week number four. And in this phase of our training, we are pretty football heavy as well as our conditioning. We're in kind of in a building phase, which means we still have quite a few reps on the bar. We're trying to put on as much mass as we can on the guys this summer before we go into camp. So we're kind of giving them all the guys every resource they can possibly take and use, whether that's between training or diet and nutrition, teaching these guys, you know, how to sleep, how to take care of their bodies, being in the training room to try to maximize every day. We have 71 days and 20 hours left before the game, and I try to maximize every minute these guys are up here for that. Little bit about the comparison, if you will, from this year to last year. I really think the guys have grown a lot. Anytime the first year, we spend a lot of time establishing a culture. Coach Huff and I are very firm believers in a culture, not just developing an athlete, but a certain type of athlete, a guy with a positive attitude, an elite work ethic, disciplined, competes, and then lives, put all those together, and is a champion every day, not just winning championships. So we try to instill those core values through how we train. The first year is kind of setting it up, introducing them, reinforcing the little things, how we want the program taught, but every day is still new. So all of the guys that returned back with us in January, the transfers, and now the incoming freshmen, now it's not brand new to a lot of guys on the team. So now we can take the next step, and that's get even fine-tune, whether that's hands behind the line, finishing on a rep, straining a little bit harder. We're calling it the summer of strain right now. Getting guys to push past their limits, obviously safely, but pushing them harder than they've ever been pushed. The great response, the good news is these guys have responded incredibly. I'm really hard on them right now. Coach Huff and myself have set a really high expectation on what we're looking for, and we're kind of not accepting anything less than that. We've got, like I said, we've got 71 days to be ready before it really counts. But there is a process to the program. In that process, where we are today versus where we were last year, we have a lot more guys bought into the program. Those that I wouldn't say are not bought in are really, really close. They probably just don't know. It's not so much there's nobody openly defiant or saying, well, I don't want to do this. It's more, I don't know how to be and how to. And that's really more the transfers and the freshmen. Once those guys get squared away, then we'll have everybody on board. Right now, like I said, called Summer of Strain, which the guys are working as hard as any team I've been a part of in 11 years. I got my start at the University of Alabama, was there for 3 years. Samford University is their director for 6 years, and been here for a year and a half. And it's the hardest working team I've been a part of. These guys amaze me at their ability to show up and work to an extremely high level. The next part to that is then attention to the detail under that stress and under fatigue. That's really where we're at now. Okay, now you know how to work. You know the expectation. The next step to that is under mental and physical fatigue, still demanding a near perfect execution. That's where we are establishing that right now. We are going to switch up things this next month. A little taste, as everybody may know, that the field is being redone. So we've been using the indoor facility for most of our conditioning. We're really excited that it's supposed to be open for us to use the turf next month. So I'm really excited to get back on the field. We haven't used the actual field itself in the stadium since the last game. So I'm excited about that. But the guys have really responded, and they answer the call on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, especially when you get older guys that are buying in. Absolutely. And they have the younger guys, you know, kind of following suit, especially, you know, those who were there last year in 2021, kind of showing the younger guys and the incoming guys the ropes and how to do things. Now, B.A., you talked a little bit about your journey in college athletics. I mean, obviously at Alabama, which is probably one of, if not the most elite program in college football.
Sure.
And then, you know, you also went down to Samford University down in Alabama. What was the biggest thing that you learned under Nick Saban at Alabama?
So I learned most of my daily workings under Coach Cochran. He was the head strength coach. So he was my boss and brought me in. It's funny you asked me that. I've been explaining my progression to a lot of our freshmen. When I'm getting on to them, let's just say I'm tough on them verbally. I've actually walked in my office sitting right behind me, several freshmen. Every time I'm hard on you in public, I'm going to love you up in private. I'm going to tell you why, because I want the kids to know why and what's my message. Don't listen to the tone of voice and don't listen necessarily to the volume. Listen to the message.
Mm-hmm.
It's my job to get you right, so to speak. It's my job to get you into our culture as quickly as possible so that you can help us on the field. That's not going to happen if you don't know how to act, what to do, sense of urgency and all those things. That's what I learned at the University of Alabama. A lot of people may not know. I got my start after my undergraduate as a construction manager. So I was actually a construction manager for 6 years out of college, managing shopping centers and banks and buildings. And then in 08 and 09, when the market crashed and housing market crashed, I got laid off, soul searched, and went back when I was 30 to get my master's and began volunteering in the weight room. So I kind of had to be broken of a lot of real world habits, so to speak, and get into back into the athletics mindset. Meaning, what I mean by that is we are in a profession where you have to act and react with very little emotion under extreme stress or fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the number one thing I learned. One, I found my passion in life.
Yeah.
And that's to develop young men, pour into young men. I strive to make a difference, not a living. I get to do that. I get paid to do something that I volunteered to do at Bama, and it's the best thing I've ever done. What I learned though, under Coach Saban and Coach Cochran, was much more of an emotionless execution. Meaning, whether I was at fault or not, the job had to get done. Therefore, yes, sir, and execute was my only job. Not the response, not a why, not a question. That's what I learned in the beginning, because they said, well, you got to know this before you ever teach an athlete this. Then I was given the responsibility at Bama to start working with a few select groups. And really just the relational piece of what is it to execute at the highest levels? What does it mean to compete every single day? Another thing I learned at Bama was there is always somebody that's willing to take my job and do it better than me. So I better have a healthy sense of fear that every single day somebody could outwork me and somebody could do this better than me. So I better not make a mistake. And if I do, I'm going to correct it very, very quickly, learn and grow from it and not repeat my mistakes. That's the most competitive environment I've ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me my own, what I thought were my own limitations of what a work day looked like. I thought I worked hard in construction. our average days are here at 4:30 and go home at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And I mean, guys that dig ditches, they work hard, you know. But just pouring into somebody else and serving a purpose for the greater good, but also doing it at such a high level that you never realize, like, I did not think I could work that hard in a 15-hour day and be that productive. And yet that was the norm. That's the expectation of the daily actions of what is required to be at that level. I took that to Sanford, and I grew and became a head coach. That's why I took the job at Sanford and turned Coach Saban down for a job offer. Was I told him I wanted to be a head coach. I want to learn how to be a head coach. And I can learn that at the program at Sanford. Mm-hmm. That was my next progression, was to learn how to be a head coach. I was there for 6 years. And when I left, every kid there, every student athlete there, I've been with them their entire college career. It also taught me probably the most important thing I have is a relationship, and to build a relationship and pour into young men to know I care, that when I'm getting on them, it's just like your parents getting on you. They're telling you that because they love you. They might have said it in a nice way. But the only reason they're upset is because they love and care about you and want to see you be better. And then I brought all of those tools that I've learned from my past here. What I do love here is the execution at an extremely high level. Coach Huff runs this place and runs the program much like Bama would be run, with less resources. Therefore, we have to wear multiple hats, do more with less. And I love that. I love wearing all the hats. So that's what I've learned through my progression. What I thrive in is an environment of extreme competitiveness. Because that helps me be better. That helps everybody around me be better, these guys.
Yeah.
And we find our own next limitation. Man, I did not know I could push that hard. But guess what? Now that we've done it, that's the new norm. So now there's the new expectation of a daily tasks.
Right. And obviously, you know, you're fired up for this upcoming season. Talk to us a little bit about switching conferences, going from Conference USA to the Sun Belt. Obviously, there's a lot of strong teams in that conference. Louisiana, who you played in the bowl game. Yes, App State, who's consistently one of the stronger teams up front along both sides of the line. Just talk to me a little bit about the uptick in competition and how you have responded to that, how the guys have responded to it during the workouts, and what they're going to be coming up against here in 2022.
Sure. You just nailed it. The uptick in competition.
Yep.
So the only thing personally, this is just a personal note, the only thing I don't like is if we win more games or lose more games or whatever our overall record is, you're not comparing apples to apples because it's different teams.
Yep.
So, did I get better as a coach or worse as a coach? What I'm telling the guys is we are using it as fuel to be extremely driven to do the little things. Like I said, in 71 days, it counts. And you're about to play a number of opponents we've never played before. I personally think the guys are extremely excited because I've watched teams get in ruts of this is a team we should beat and not necessarily prepare as hard as they need to. Or this is a team that has beat us and go in with a certain mindset towards that game. When we play opponents we've never played before, then every week is a championship week. Coach Huff is always trying to preach, if we're going to practice like we play, then you practice with the same intensity of which you're going to play with no matter who the opponent is. So that way when you get to the game, you just execute the game plan. We're the same way in here. We're preparing for battle. I'm going to arm you with body armor, muscle mass, extreme level of conditioning, mental toughness. I'm going to arm you with all the tools that you need to go into the game. It's your job to use them. However, when we don't necessarily know our opponent based off of historical games, then we're going to prepare every day, just like we're going to prepare every day in the season, like it is a championship game. Every day matters. Every game matters. And some of the, I would say, not a fear of the unknown, but some of the unknown has helped us to concentrate and focus on a little bit deeper level. Mm-hmm. That's everybody is player-wise, staff-wise, is excited about the opportunities to play better teams. Because guess what? That makes us better, and they better be prepared for Marshall to get off the bus. They may be better, but so are we.
Exactly. We're here with Ben Ashford, Director of Sports Performance at Marshall University, here in the live stream, multi-stream podcast of the Running with the Herd, streaming live on both Facebook and Twitter. If you got a question for BA or myself, you could chime in on either Facebook or Twitter. And got a couple of more here for you, BA. Tangible numbers are one thing when it comes to strength and conditioning. Obviously, 40-yard dash time, bench press reps, you name it.
Sure.
Tangible numbers. But what's not tangible, what is intangible, is the preparation.
Sure.
And like you said, you know, the ability to perform under extreme mental and physical fatigue. Not saying to mention any names, but have you seen guys that may not have had the intangible, what you were looking for in terms of finishing a rep, finishing a drill, that kind of thing? Have they improved? Have you seen a big improvement in that regard from year one to year two?
Yes. This team has always been competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Competition fuels exactly what you're talking about. It's no longer cool to coast through the line. It's no longer acceptable. The culture now is becoming, if you're not the first or if you're not your best, you don't have to be the fastest. I just want you to be your best today. And if you don't give your best, it's no longer cool to be that way. Guys that are, Coach Huff, the way he words it is self-regulate. When I ask you to go, you go. So from last year to this year, one of the cool components to see is once everybody was exposed to the entire year's program, they now know what to expect. Therefore, they can excel at that expectation. Last year, each day, each component, each phase was new. Therefore, there was a component of, well, should I feel this way? Should I be exhausted this week? Where do we sprint and where do we run hard? Where do we strain in the weight room versus move it from point A to B? Now that they have been through a true year's off season, and we're starting to repeat it, all the older guys know, oh, yeah, I remember when we did that last summer. Oh, yeah, I remember how I felt last summer. This is not only normal, this is the expectation of it. It didn't kill me last summer. Therefore, I can get better this summer. I can push a little bit harder this summer. I can push a little bit harder in this workout. I can push a little bit harder for these runs. Last year, I finished 2 laps of stadiums on Friday morning. This year, I'm trying to finish 3. Last year, I got 10 reps on the prowlers. This year, I'm going to try to get 15. So we've got a lot of guys holding themselves accountable to their previous records, numbers that are recorded, the tangibles. Mm-hmm. And those, obviously, how we kind of measure success. The intangibles, though, that's where I'm most excited about, because that means the culture is now starting to be reinforced. Now that they know the expectation, they can excel at that expectation.
Ben Ashford here with us in the Running with the Herd podcast, sponsored by Mike Gwynn Insurance Agency and streaming live on both Facebook and Twitter. One more here for you, BA, before we let you run. Now that you've been with the program, what have you seen in terms of, you know, working with Coach Huff, who you obviously know from your time at Alabama, and working with the rest of the staff and how you guys have come together in year two? Like, what have you liked in terms of, you know, just going to work every day and being with guys that truly care about ball and truly care about these kids?
I'll start with Coach Huff. I have the utmost respect for how he runs the program. He is not only an excellent head coach, I think he's an excellent CEO of the organization. I have tremendous – he runs the organization like I would run my weight room without us ever having to talk about it. How largely because of our backgrounds and our time at Bama. And that's the intangibles we learned in our experiences. Mm-hmm. That's how we want it to be run. Now go do it. I've got tremendous respect for how he treats the staff, but foremost, but more importantly, how he treats the players. Firm but fair. Doors always open. He's a head coach that wants to see. He doesn't micromanage. He lets you do your job. I hired you to do your job. Do your job and do it well. As far as the rest of the staff, as you know and are aware, we've had little turnover in the overall staff, which is really good. The difference for me that I've seen from year one to year two is the same as watching the players. We just grow a little bit closer. Our families grow a little bit closer. We as a staff become more of a team. You've seen it, like guys that you work with. You have more inside jokes. You've kind of made some more memories with it. You just become closer. And at the end of the day, they're playing for each other. You know, I mean, in reality, they're playing for the man next to them. Well, we're kind of coaching that way. We want to be very successful for not only Marshall and for the players, but for each other. And so what I've seen just is a growth of being able to just know each other on a deeper level and knowing that, again, everybody that has stayed for Coach Huff and Marshall and these kids. And that's a cool thing to be a part of. And that comes out in the before you start the meeting with some inside jokes or you remember wins. Mm-hmm. The same as the guys are in the locker room. They're telling stories. They're telling jokes. You remember last year when? And that just builds that the depth to the relationship. It's not just a work relationship. It's, man, we spend more time together than we do with our families, our own families. And so to have that togetherness and closeness, I think is really important also for the players to see. If we're not together, how in the world are we going to ask them to be a team? So that's been fun. It's I've had more fun this year than I've had in 11 years of coaching, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
Harder this year than I ever have. And those, the two guys behind me, have a lot to do with that too, just my staff in the office, because we're around each other all day, every day. It makes the difference in the world. The people you're with make the difference. And I'd like to segue into that. Give credit to the herd nation, the herd community. The more people I meet and interact with that bleed green and that talk to me about their memories in growing up or their former playing days or their experiences when they come over here and interact with us, it deepens my own sense of urgency that this is bigger than just us. There's a lot of people, and I've related that to the players. When you're out in the community, really feel what they feel and just know those people are really rooting for you on Saturdays to represent us well. So not only have I, in the last year and a half, grown closer as a staff, but grown closer just to the community.
Yeah.
That's special. That means more to me. It adds depth to the reason why I care on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Marshall is one of those things. It's family. It's personal. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, have deep ties to the region. A lot of people know somebody that, you know, went to school there, played there.
Absolutely.
A lot of different things. And, you know, it's a family. And I'm glad that we're all part of it. And we're going to end this one on a fun note here, BA. Pre-game routine for you. You know, is there a specific meal, specific music that you like to listen to? Anything that you like to get into before a game, before you're ready to go out and compete
against the
other guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. Fun note. I do the exact same thing before every game. We always start at the hotel. We have our pregame meal, which I eat almost nothing, largely due to the fact that by the time we hit 4 hours out of the game, I'm like through the roof amped. And so my kind of stomach's always in knots because we, the second we got on the bus to go to the stadium, it's, we are going 110 miles an hour until the game's over with. And then we get back on the bus. My routine is I always get on the bus. I do not listen to music. I stare right in front of me, usually at my seat. If we're at home, once we get on Third Avenue to come down, I start to feel, let's just say, emotional. I think that's a really special thing, riding up to our stadium. Mm-hmm. Every time we do it, I think it's really amazing. If we're away, that's my first chance to really see campus because we fly straight in, go straight to the hotel. So I just kind of check out my surroundings just a little bit with a real kind of a mean mug look. No music because I'm thinking of all the things that are about to come up and execution of those things, my job. The next piece, I change clothes and I stretch, guys, for 2.5 hours on the field, one after the other, always in the exact same order. Not by me. They create the order. I go through all of my stretches. As soon as we finish the stretch, I go into the locker room. I lead a group stretch in the locker room. We come out, we play again. So it's very it's very much like a practice.
Very meticulous, yes.
And it's the exact same thing, home or away, every single game. I do not deviate.
Yep. A man with a plan, B.A., Ben Ashford here joining us.
I got a plan.
Man with a plan. Here joining us in the Running with the Herd podcast, sponsored by Mike Gwynn Insurance Agency and streaming live on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow B.A. on Twitter at Ben A. Ashford. And I'll tell you what, fans, and I'll tell you what, people, if you go to B.A.'s Twitter and you see a video of him, and he is trying to fire his players up, trying to get the guys to, you know, finish the drill, you know, run that last sprint. If every single person watched a BA video before they went to their respective job, I guarantee you, you'll probably have a better day at work.
Absolutely. Swing by the weight room one morning at 5 a.m. You'll be ready to go for the day. I promise you that.
Sounds good, BA. All right. We'll talk to you later. Best of luck this season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Aaron.